Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Mickey Bressman. He is the co-founder and CEO of Semperis, which is a cybersecurity company based in Hoboken. Mickey, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to do it. I appreciate it. I'm interested in getting your views on what the landscape is like in your world in cybersecurity nowadays. But I wanted to start first with a little bit about the company. My understanding is Semperis recently closed a $200 million funding round. You've been ranked as the fastest growing cybersecurity company in the country by the Financial Times. And you've grown revenue by an astounding 2,800%. That's 2,800% over the last 3 years. So the question is, how'd you do it? what do our viewers need to know, should know about Semperis and your growth?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that what we are focused on in Semperis is mostly on the value that we can provide for our customers, which I think was always part of the reason of why any company should exist and why any company should grow. The core mission that we have at Semperis is what we define as being a force for good, which is basically in the heart of everything that we do. And this is how we approach pretty much every activity in the company, to be honest.
Okay.
And I think that by providing the value that we provide to our customers, and in the cybersecurity space, we basically provide value on three main initiatives. One would be, how can you try and help customers to prevent any type of a disaster that might potentially happen to them? If they are already going through an attack, how can you potentially help them to defend themselves and basically fend off the attacker?
Okay.
And then in the worst case scenario, if they're being breached and they now need to gain back the control over the environment, or if they've been encrypted end-to-end, what is known as a ransomware attack, how fast can they bounce back? Basically, the resiliency side of any organization.
Okay.
And by being a company that's on the front lines of providing those services, that's what basically helped us to grow as fast as we've been growing.
Okay. So cybersecurity, an immensely important topic, one of great interest. Every time we do an event around cybersecurity, the interest is off the charts because everybody's afraid of it. So I guess the question is, by everybody, I mean business owners and corporate executives. It's a huge fear. I guess what I'm interested from you is how afraid should those folks be? What's the threat level now? What are you seeing? It's just anecdotally, what I hear all the time is people think it's just getting worse and worse every day. Is that your experience? What should business owners and executives know about the threats now?
So I would say there are a few different questions in your question, but yes. I would say that being afraid is probably not the right way to deal with anything.
Okay.
You should be concerned, that's for sure. But there are things that you can do in order to mitigate the concerns that are out there. You're right, we do see an increase in cyber attacks for several different reasons. Some of them, A, there is, as you probably know, there are war activities that are happening right now in the other part of the world. But if you remember the NotPetya situation, 2017, the entire world have been struck by a cyber attack. Mm-hmm. Which was estimated by the US government to cause damages of about $10 billion.
Right.
And most of those damages were non-intentional, meaning it was a collateral damage. Then once you find yourself in that situation again, then that's definitely a higher level of potential threats. And we're starting to see now more of those activity picking up. In the same time, the macro environment situation from the financial perspective, by default, drives more criminal activity. And criminal activity in today's world, in most cases, will mean more cyber criminal activity as well. So there's definitely a higher level of attacks. There is a higher level of tension and so on and so forth.
Okay.
With that said, you can be prepared and you should make measures. One of the things that I will say is that there is a going sentiment, I would say, in the CISO community, the chief security officers community, those organizations that have been breached and those that are about to. And if that's the case, if that's how you approach things, then at the very minimum, if you want to be what is referred to as cyber resilient, at the very minimum, have the ability to recover. So mm-hmm. Have backups. That's kind of a very basic thing to do, and anybody can do it, no matter how big or small your company is. It's not that complicated. So make sure that you have backups, make sure that you have the ability to recover from them, make sure that you understand how to actually use them in the case they're needed, and also make sure that they're not on the same network slash device that you are backing up, which I guess kind of make sense, but you'll be surprised how many times we've seen those situations where the backup was on the machine that was encrypted, which kind of make it completely useless.
Okay. So that leads me to this question is I'm curious, what everybody wants to know is what mistakes am I making? I mean, that's what they all think in terms of what their vulnerabilities are. What is the biggest mistake you think business owners, executives are making now, given the threats that are out there? Is it, as you just said, putting your backups on the same network that's vulnerable? I mean, what if there were one or two things you would say to a corporate executive now, what would it be in terms of the kinds of things that you see being done?
So one, I'll say something to think about is don't necessarily think about your company as why would somebody go and attack me? Mm-hmm. I would say that one, you might be, as I just mentioned before, you might be just a collateral damage. So the NotPetya attack, as an example, was something that was not targeting the multiple different organizations that got hit. It was just something that went all over the world. And I think that there's multiple estimations now from multiple different insurance companies and so on, that they all estimate that over the next 2 years, we'll see another type of a NotPetya event. So number one, be prepared. And the second one would be, in most cases, even if somebody's going after you specifically, you should also assume that it's not necessarily the most sophisticated type of an attacker. So unless you are one of the biggest companies out there, that there is a specific reason why would a state-sponsored attack will go after you, then in most cases, it's probably going to be something less sophisticated.
Okay.
What it leads you as a conclusion is that if you do the basics, the fundamentals, and those are relatively, I would say, less hard to do, although they're not, I mean, basic sometimes can mean, oh, you're going to do something very, very simple. It's not that simple and still requires work to be done, but it does imply that those are things that you can do even if you're not the most sophisticated cyber recovery, cyber management and so on type of an organization.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting point, because I think you're right. I think a lot of, you know, even smaller businesses, especially in New Jersey, think the North Korean army is coming after me. and that's probably not the case. I'm curious, though, what you mentioned at the top, that you want the company to do good in the world. Is that really what sets, first of all, is that what you think sets Sempros apart from your competitors? And second, what does that mean in practical terms? How do you do that? How do you enhance your role as a corporate citizen?
For sure. So the story of being a force for good for us started, I'm going to say, about 3-4 years ago. Basically, we got a call from one of our partners that was looking to help a customer of theirs that was not a customer of ours with an incident response that they were having. They were breached. They were completely owned by the attacker at this stage. And basically, the request there was, can you come in and help? We know that it's not your customer. We know it's not something that you have an agreement with and so on and so forth. Can you just come in and see what can be done? And I said, sure. And there was like a big surprise moment of, wait, we don't have a contract. And I said, no, it's all fine. Let's first help the organizations. Let's get rid of the bad guys that are currently operating inside of the environment. And we'll worry about everything else later. It's not really the reason why we're here to help you. Now, it was one of those, I would say, nasty type of situations where it's a large insurance companies worldwide distributed that completely lost control over their network and so on. And we basically came in, we started to help. And we have playbooks of what do you do in those situations? First thing is don't panic. There's actually things that you can do. And how do you basically walk all your way back into bouncing back and making sure that you now own the environment? Not going to go to the technical details, but there are ways that how those are being done. And as soon as we were done with that one, we got another call, which was for another partner that said, I just heard what we've done for company X, and we have a healthcare provider that is also in a worse situation. In their case, they've already been partially encrypted. And can you come in and can you help? And we said, sure. And then the same story again. Well, we don't have a contract. We don't have this. We don't have the other. And again, yes, first of all, let's help the organization. Let's make sure that they're up and running and we can figure out things later. And even if nothing happens from our commercial perspective, that's perfectly fine. So that's kind of how the force for good started. What I think is more fascinating from our perspective is what happens next. And what happened next is that it became to some degree like a narrative in the company that our employees started to take to different directions. So then we had the force for good towards the community, where basically we are doing multiple different types of activities where we're contributing to the community, and we encourage our employees to do so. Then we had the force for good among ourselves. So in other words, being nice to the people that work with you, and it's surprising how far it can go. And I think the highest level was a force for good toward oneself, which also came from our employees. As you mentioned before, many of us now are working from home, which might mean in many cases that you spend your entire day in front of the computer and you never even get up.
Right.
So we have this initiative where we encourage our employees, if they have a call where they don't have to present and so on, step away from the computer, make sure that you take a walk of 30 minutes at least. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the narrative of the force for good. And I think it really sets Sempress apart in our mission, in terms of what we're trying to achieve, in how we treat our employees, how we treat our communities, how we treat our customers, all of it.
Okay, well, it seems to be reflected in your results anyway. I'm also then curious about, you mentioned doing it internally and making sure that your staff is happy. I'm guessing, I'm thinking about how difficult it is for a lot of tech firms to find talent, even in a talent-rich area like New Jersey. Does that help you? I mean, are you well enough known for that kind of thing, that force for good that allows you to attract and retain the kinds of people that you need? What is that dynamic like?
So I think what an interesting point in what you mentioned, the same day that Deloitte 500 mentioned this, stated that Sempress is one of the fastest growing cybersecurity companies in North America, we also got the ranking on the Dun & Bradstreet, the most desirable places to work. I don't remember the exact title. And to me, the combination of those two is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's basically what it says, that on one hand, our employees are very happy with working at Sempress, and we do make it into a thing. Somebody said just the other day is that we don't talk about culture, we do culture, and they kind of embrace the saying. And I think those two go hand in hand, right? So we had the fastest growing cybersecurity company from the results and so on. And at the same time, we have very happy employees, which to me is very important. And I see those two as kind of coming together. You need to have both to be successful.
Okay. And what? Why Hoboken? I'm curious because you're not the only cybersecurity company that I know of based in Hoboken. First of all, is Hoboken a hotbed for cybersecurity, number one? And number two, Justin, even if it's not, what was your attraction to Hoboken? And what does your staff think about the city and about being there every day?
So I don't know if Hoboken is big enough to be hub for anything, just to be honest.
Okay. It's a mile square city, right?
So exactly. There is a reason why it's called the mile square city. There's definitely a lot of tech talent here, and not just tech. There's different type of talent in the area. Also, okay. Hoboken have, in my mind at least, the unfair advantage of being literally 8 minutes away from the big city.
Right.
And I'm sometimes jokingly saying with the better views. And at the same time, for multiple people that actually live deeper in Jersey, it's relatively easy to commute to Hoboken if and when needed. And Hoboken have a lot to offer, at least from my perspective, if it comes to the ecosystem, and might sound a bit different type of ecosystem than what you might think, but I'm referring to restaurants, I'm referring to other things that you need around your office and so on.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not every place is Sand Hill Road in California. I mean, you're right. Hoboken certainly does have those advantages.
If you want to compare, right? But you have great views. It's right on the river, easy commute, right. And the city. I mean, Hoboken have a lot to offer in terms of there is a lot of activity happening, which I think is a very important point.
Okay, so what are you expecting in 2023? What are the challenges ahead for the company in 2023? Where do you think your opportunities lie for growth going forward over the next, say, 12 months? What does it look? What are you anticipating? What are you planning for?
Sure. So it's interesting because I just gave several talks about what we see in 2023, and I'm basically divided the talk that I'm giving into two main parts, the headwinds and the tailwinds, because there are going to be both.
Right.
Headwinds, look, the macro environment is very unclear. It's very hard to navigate and understand what's going to happen. The stock exchange market, as an example, is going up and down in a very unclear direction, let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
We also see some headwinds in terms of how does the whole Russia-Ukraine situation affecting the world, the China situation, and as well, there is supply chain challenges. I mean, I'm sure that you're familiar with all of it.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think if one thing that we can definitely say is that we're living in very uncertain times. So those are the headwinds, and which makes, among other things, very hard to predict and very hard to plan things. So whatever plan you put in place right now, I will say that the most important thing is to make sure that your plan is something that you can adjust as you go along, because things are changing. It doesn't make sense to keep up to the same plan no matter what.
Right.
Okay. And I think that the ability to be more nimble in this type of an environment is super critical.
Okay.
The tailwinds for a company like Sempress is, of course, as you mentioned, the need for cybersecurity only goes up. Right. And to some degree, I will also say, like it or not, the current environment to some degree is actually is a tailwind in terms of the ability to fend off cyber activities, because just as much more of those, and many of those cyber activities can become an extinction event for a company. So I think from that perspective, we will not see a slowdown on the Sempress growth.
Okay. All right. And finally, before I let you go, you've been very generous with your time. I appreciate that. I'm curious about what the future holds for Sempress itself. You mentioned some of the uncertainty in the markets. Are you looking for more funding? Is an IPO a possibility, even though the market for that, those are have been really shaky, let's say, for the moment, or mergers and acquisitions, either as a target or as a buyer? What are you looking at now in terms of what Sempress is going to be going forward?
So in short, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
But
good answer.
Yeah, but in a more in a more structured way, we have started in recent quarters, I would say, to start and behave more as a public company.
Okay.
Thinking that at some point in time we will probably want to go public. As you rightfully said, nobody knows why, especially with, I mean, if somebody can predict the market, that will be right. Amazing. So we're starting to implement more and more of a public company behaviors internally, if it's about how you do forecasting, if it's about the different positions that you're in the company. Jeffrey, so just so that you understand, think about it this way. Sempress went from being, I don't know, 35 people, give or take, 3 years ago to being about 400 now.
Wow, okay.
So the reason I bring it up is what happened was that we went from a position where everybody knows everybody, everybody are kind of, were brought together in the same team and so on, into the multiple teams, different distributed organization and so on. So putting the policies in place, making sure that you're actually ready to move to the next stage, because next time that we do the big jump in growth, it's probably going to go from 400 to 600 and so on. So it's starting to be a very different type of a company.
Okay.
So we're making all the preparations and we'll continue to watch the markets and see what happens.
Okay. Well, we will watch along with you. I hope you come back and give us an update when you finally figure out what the markets are going to do and what that means for you. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thank you. Mickey Bresman, CEO of Sempress, based in Hoboken. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Thank you.